All right, well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Glad you're with us. If you are, as we say, watching on the interwebs, we're glad you're watching there, too. Daniel 10, if you would with me, we're rocking right along in our study of this book, this incredible little book, both historical and prophetic in nature. A lot of history in the first half, a lot of prophecy in the second half, and still some history scattered in through the prophecy as well that we've seen. I hope that you're enjoying it. I hope you're getting a little something out of it. I tell you, I've gotten a great bit out of Daniel. One of the things that I've gotten out of Daniel is I'm glad I didn't live when Daniel was alive. That's the first one, because there are some things that happened to our friend Daniel that I just don't know that my heart would have been able to take. I'm a skittish sort of fellow anyway, and there were some things going on, like handwritings on the wall and what we're about to see today with people showing up out of the blue and goats and rams and all kinds of things that we saw the last time. So pretty incredible things. Now, Daniel chapter 10 is almost like a parenthesis. We saw all of these incredible things through the history of the nation of Babylon. Remember, they had the Israelites in captivity for 70 years. And then they were overthrown by Cyrus and his group of men and came into being the Medes and the Persians. And that happened, we can say historically without a doubt, on October the 12th of 539 B.C. We know exactly when that happened. We know how it happened. We talked about them coming in through the bottom of the thing there on the night that Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall and taking the city. It was an incredible story as we looked at that. And then Daniel in the lion's den and all the incredible things that we've seen. And we saw these prophetic pieces in chapters 8 and again in chapter 9 as Daniel was in prayer. He received this vision and Gabriel visited him. And Gabriel told him at the end of Daniel chapter 9 about 70 weeks that were declared for his people. And we'll see that phrase again, your people, speaking directly to the nation of Israel in chapter 10 as well. But chapter 10 sort of takes us just a little bit of a step back. It's almost like a little parenthesis. What chapter 10 does, it sets us up for chapter 11 and chapter 12. And chapter 11 and chapter 12 is really where we see what Gabriel meant by those 70 weeks in a lot of detail in those last couple of chapters. So we're going to have a little bit of a parenthesis today, but, and that's a big but there, it is an incredible parenthesis. There's some things that go on in here that Papa and I were talking during the break. We want to be very, very careful with Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10 tells us, gives us a little glimpse of behind the scenes, if you would, to a couple of things. And we want to remember, as we were reminded at break talking, what our brother Jabe Nicholson, who we mentioned will be down in Slidell at their conference here in just a few weeks, Jabe would always say, wonderful things in the Bible I see, things that were put there by you and by me. So we want to be very careful that we don't put things into Scripture. We don't want to take away from it. We don't want to add to it. We have a very stern warning about that in the book of Revelation at the end of Scripture. But there are some incredible things that I think we can pick up on, and I'll have a couple of little things that I would like to suggest, and then as we say from time to time, we can go in the parking lot and fight about it when we're all done. But we'll just have some thoughts on some things in Daniel chapter 10. So let's set the stage. Where are we right now? Well, you'll notice in chapter 10 and verse 1, it begins, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, we remember back over in Daniel chapter, I believe it was at the end of chapter 7, wasn't it? No, my apologies. It was at the end of chapter 5. That October the 12th, 539 B.C. day when the place fell, when Babylon fell. We read that Darius the Mede there at the end received the kingdom. Now, as I understand it from a historical perspective, really the reign was under Cyrus. That is when Cyrus took the reins. Darius was put there on his behalf, ruling the city. So historically, that would put us around 536 B.C., Daniel's a very old man. He's been there a very long time. He's worked for Nebuchadnezzar. He's worked for Belshazzar. He's worked for Darius. He's worked for Cyrus. And here he is, still faithful to his God, and his God is still proving himself faithful to him. So that's where we are. We're about 500 and 36-ish B.C., if we take that into consideration, what we've got. So let's read together Daniel chapter 10, and we'll ask the Lord to help us with some of these things, and I think you'll see as we read why this is an incredible chapter to continue. So this is what Daniel records for us. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. You might remember that was his Babylonian name, his Chaldean name that was given to him back in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel is his Hebrew name. And the word was true, and it was a great conflict. And he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. Verse 2 continues, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies or meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Euphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were there with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone, and I saw this great vision. And no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. And then verse 10 picks up, and behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken these words, when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people. There's that phrase again that we saw a little earlier back in a previous chapter. What is to happen to your people in the latter days? For the vision is for the days yet to come. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face towards the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and I spoke, and I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now there remains in me no breath is left in me. No strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly loved, fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened. And I said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince. So, Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity that is ours to see your word, to hold it in our hands, to read it, meditate upon it, and think on it, Father. We ask that you would help us. Your spirit would guide and direct in the things that are said. Our ultimate goal, Father, would be to bring honor and glory to the lovely Lord Jesus, and we pray that you would help us to do that and give us understanding, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? I mean, we could stop there and just go home and think on those kind of things, but yeah, I got a few minutes, so let's talk, okay? So here's what we see. If we go back to the start, I'm reading from the ESV, so it may have sounded a little different than what you see there if you're reading from the King James or some other translation. But you see, back in the very beginning, a word was revealed to Daniel, and the word was true, and I read, and it was a great conflict. Now, it's both a heavenly and an earthly conflict. What we just read, as you can see, with these visions that Daniel had, with this one who came to him, talk about angels, talk talked about Michael, the Persian kings and the king of Greece and whatnot. Heavenly conflicts there that we saw in chapter 10. As we get into chapter 11, we'll learn more about these particular characters, the kings of the north and the south. And that's an earthly conflict, those that are around the region of Israel. And finally, in chapter 12, we'll take up the war against Israel. So these things are coming, this great conflict. Well, if you're reading from the King James, you would have read this. You would have read, "Time appointed was long." Well, it doesn't even get close to a great conflict, does it? They don't even sound like they're related to each other. But you know what great conflicts are? They're long. They take a while to accomplish. I think the idea behind what we see here in these two different translations is it's going to take a long time to get to this great conflict. Remember, Daniel says it's for a future day. It's for a time that's coming, Daniel was told. So I think both we can take accurate translations, these end times that are going to come to pass. What we do know, guaranteed, if you look there towards the middle of verse 1, the word was true. And that's absolutely 100% true from the very front page of your Bible to the very last page of your Bible. Every word in this book is absolutely 100% true. And we have seen with great accuracy things that Daniel saw, predicted prophetically. We've seen those things come to pass. We've talked about Alexander the Great and his conquest. We've seen the things of Nebuchadnezzar in history. We know Cyrus was a real man. We know these things actually happened. And the day is coming when chapters 11 and 12 of Daniel are 100% to the letter. Every I dotted, every T crossed will be absolutely born to pass, and it will be true, and we'll get to see it all. So Daniel understood there in verse 1 of chapter 10, he understood the vision. Well, in verses 2 and 3, we kind of see Daniel was in a little bit of a state. He had a little condition going on about himself. You see there, he was in mourning for 3 weeks. Now, why would Daniel be in mourning? Well, I don't really know. I have a couple of ideas to suggest to you. Now, in this particular time, very few of the Israelites had actually returned back to the land. They had been given permission to go back and rebuild Jerusalem, and very few of them had done so. Only about 50,000, according to the historians, had actually left Babylon out of a great multitude of people. Daniel could have been in mourning about that. He could have been in mourning because he didn't think the work was going to get accomplished. He didn't think there was enough that was happening. He didn't think it was fast enough. He could have been in mourning because he had gotten some pretty big revelations, right? We saw in chapter 9 what he had been told. We knew from earlier what he had been told. He could have been mourning thinking about his people, about the nation of Israel. You might remember back in chapter 9, we read in the middle of chapter 9, well, about the first quarter of chapter 9, "To us, O Lord, belongs open shame, to our kings, to our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you." And that's chapter 9 and verse 8. Daniel's probably still thinking on these things because he was that kind of an individual. And then he gets this incredible vision. Well, you kind of have to ask yourself the next question. At least in my mind, it's a logical question to ask. Why is Daniel still even there? If the thing had been given that you could go back to Jerusalem, why is Daniel hanging around? Why would he not return? Well, I want to suggest two things to you. One, you will probably see very readily. We've talked many times. Daniel's an old man. Daniel's in his 80s, if not approaching 90. Probably lack of being able to go back, right? Probably this is where he was going to be. He was also employed by the king. We saw that. He worked various jobs for all of these rulers in that time. Laura and I yesterday went up to Birmingham, and we were driving back a U-Haul full of props and all for the Nutcracker that the ballet puts on every year. And this thing's just a terrible riding vehicle. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to drive a 26-foot-long U-Haul, but I don't recommend it. It was a miserable experience trying to drive that thing. But we got to talking. And we were just talking about, you know, why are people where they're at, right? No secret. I want to retire. I want to retire right now. I want to go do something different. The Lord hadn't seen fit for me to do that, right? I mean, I'm certainly eligible to, but he hasn't opened another door. And it's like, you know, why is that? Laura, very wise, she said, you know, the Lord keeps people exactly where he needs them, exactly where he wants them. You ever wondered that? You ever wondered why are you where you are? You know, why are you still where you might would be? Not really exactly thinking that this is where you want to be, but you don't really see an escape from it, right? How can I change my situation? How can I make this to be what, and here's the problem that we have, what I think is better? Brother George Vilecki, who's been with the Lord a long time, used to draw little illustrations for the children. And one of my favorite illustrations he drew was he drew a fish, and he called it Mr. Sell Fish. And it was a fish, and he had on a vest and a pair of pants, and he looked like a man with a monocle and all those kind of cute little things that you draw. But you see, Mr. Selfish, he had an I problem. It was all about him. How can I do this and how can I do that? I don't think Daniel thought like that. I think Daniel was probably pretty content to be exactly where the Lord had him to be, because he got great blessings out of being where he was. But Daniel writes that he ate no delicacies. No meat or wine entered my mouth in verse number 3, nor did I anoint myself at all for 3 full weeks. And you need to remember that term. It's going to become important to us a few verses later. So for 3 weeks, Daniel is taking in, as the King James says, no pleasant bread. Now, Daniel's got a job to do. I don't think Daniel is in a full-on fast, okay? Because he doesn't say that I fasted for 3 weeks. He says, I ate no delicacies. No meat or wine entered my mouth. Made me think back to chapter 1. You might remember we talked in Daniel chapter 1 about the original VeggieTales, right? Give us only vegetables to eat and we'll see how we compare to the people who are eating all the king's fine food after a certain number of days. Well, Daniel's back into that sort of a mindset. Now, when we talk about fasting, it's a very interesting topic in a lot of ways to a lot of people. And there are some people who have some very hard, fast rules that they think about fasting, right? Here's what I think about fasting. I think fasting is between you and the Lord. I think fasting is something that you do with a humble and a contrite spirit. And I think that's exactly what Daniel was doing. I think he was humbling himself before the Lord, however that might have been. He was restraining from meats and wine and some other things because he was seeking the Lord's guidance. He was seeking the Lord's help. Now, he didn't go around going, woe is me, and proclaiming that he was in a fast and wearing sackcloth and ashes and stuff, because it wasn't for the rest of the world to see. It wasn't for him to go in the presence of King Cyrus and look like he had lost his best friend or that somebody had shot his dog. This was something he was doing in a humble spirit right before the Lord. And you see the answer that the Lord gives him as we read through this chapter. The Lord acknowledges those things. Isaiah wrote this in Isaiah 66 and verse 2, all these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. And we certainly see that in our friend Daniel. And that's what he's doing. So for 3 weeks he's fasting, and then you'll notice in verse number 4, it's very specific. On the 24th day of the first month, now, very specific time that he's standing on the banks of the Tigris River. The first month would have been the month of Nisan, or Abib, according to the Jewish calendar. It also would correspond to somewhere around middle of April or May, to you and I today. But you know what was really significant about that particular month? It was on the 14th day of that month that the Israelites were to observe the Passover, because it was a celebration of when they were delivered from the Egyptians there in the book of Exodus. So Daniel says in verse 5, he said, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen. Do you remember in the book of Daniel, the last person who lifted up his eyes? Our buddy King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had lost control of the kingdom. He had been banished out into the wilderness. He grew fingernails like eagle's talons. His hair looked like feathers on his head. He became a beast eating off of the ground. And at the end of that time, that period, I believe it was 7 years, if memory serves me correct, he lifted up his eyes and God restored him to his kingdom. Here Daniel is out in this particular month. He's out. He's along the banks of the Tigris. He's in the middle of this fast. He's been going on now for 3 weeks, looking, humbling himself before the Lord. And he looks up and he sees this man in linen. What an incredible thing to think about. So let's take a look at this man, because pretty incredible fellow. Notice that he was clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. Now, if you listen and you read and you look a little bit about biblical things, many commentators and scholars will tell you the following. Linen, which we know from biblical patterns, is the dress of the priest. When we talk about gold, gold reminds us of authority and purity. Beryl had applications in protection. It was a very hard gem, and it had application in protection from what I understand. Lightning, of course, means it's light given, right? Prescott knows full hand. He was out in the yard dancing in the rain one time and the sky lit up because lightning gives off a lot of light. Eyes like flaming torches. Well, we know what fire does, right? It purifies. It separates the fine and the pure from the dross. Arms and legs like burnished bronze. Bronze often speaks to us of judgment in God's word. And finally, the sound of his words like a multitude. Couldn't be ignored. When this one spoke, you had to listen. Hold your finger there in Daniel and go with me to Revelation chapter 1. Over in Revelation chapter 1, or as it should be properly called, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, the true title of the book, Revelation chapter 1, listen to what John saw. John is banished to the island of Patmos. He's in trouble for being a follower of Jesus Christ, and they put him out on this island to live out the remainder of his days, and he's there. And John is in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he receives the following vision. Pick up with me in verse number 12. John said, I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and turning I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstand was one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe, with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, white like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. They sound really similar, don't they, to what Daniel saw and to what John saw. They sound really, really familiar. All right, so read down with me back in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10 in verse number 7. Daniel says, I alone saw the vision. The men who were with me did not see the vision, but they fled to hide themselves. And verse 8 says, so I was left alone and saw this great vision. And notice what he says at the end of verse number 8. No strength was left in me. You need not turn there, but listen to the words from Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is on the road to Damascus, and a great light shone around him. And listen what the Apostle Paul said. And now as he, Paul, went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, but who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. And Acts chapter 9 and verse 7 tells us, the men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Well, that sounds kind of similar too, doesn't it? There with a group of people, there in a company. Other folks didn't see what was going on. He gets this incredible vision, and he has no ability to stand before it. So the question is, did Daniel see the Lord? Is this a pre-incarnate visitation of the Lord Jesus to our buddy Daniel? Some people say yes. Some people say no. Shocker there, right? Surprise, surprise. People can't agree on this. I kind of personally think it was. Do I know for 100% certain? No, I can't say that. But you certainly can see the similarities between what Daniel and John saw and what Daniel and Paul experienced. And we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that there on the island of Patmos, John saw the Lord Jesus. We know beyond the shadow of a doubt that there on the road to Damascus, the Apostle Paul met the Lord Jesus. But we'll leave that up to you to decide. When we get down to verse 10, I think we're at a different person. Notice with me in verse 9 of Daniel chapter 10, "Then I heard the sound of his words, and I fell at the sound of his words. I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground." So Daniel's out. He's out cold. And in verse 10, a hand touched him. Now, I think this is a different hand. I don't think we're talking about the same vision here. And let me explain why that I think that. Here, what we see in verse number 9, if you scroll down with me in your Bible, notice here in verse 13 of Daniel chapter 10, we're going to come back to this thought, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me." So the one who touched Daniel and said, "Hey, come on, get up. I was sent here. I've been trying to get here. The king of Persia withstood me." Nobody can withstand the Lord. He didn't. This is not the Lord here in verse number 10. We can establish that without a thought. I mean, without a doubt. So why would we kind of see this vision of the Lord Jesus in Daniel and to the Apostle Paul and to the Apostle John in Revelation? Well, Paul was about to get a great revelation of the gospel and his go forth, and this is what is going to be required of you. In Revelation and in Daniel, both of these men are about to receive incredible prophecies that are absolutely going to come to pass. I think the Lord Jesus appeared to all of these men because he wanted all of these men to know, I'm first, I'm the forefront, all of this is about me. Focus on me. Let's get your mind where your mind needs to be, on the Lord Jesus. Now, here are some people who are going to help you. For Paul, it was his friends. For John, it was all the angels and the elders and whatnot showing him around what he needed to know. Just something to keep in your mind is that. So Daniel, his appearance was changed and his strength left him. And here comes this guy and he says, "Hey, come on, get up." And he says in verse 12, he says, "Fear not, fear not." You think that would work for you? If you had just seen what Daniel had saw and somebody comes along and puts their hand on and says, "Hey man, get up. You ain't got nothing to be afraid of. You don't know what I just saw." If you saw what I just saw, you might be a little scared too. But notice the first thing the man actually said to him back up in verse 11. "Daniel, man greatly loved." What an incredible thought. That should put your fears aside. You know that you are loved? Every one of us loved. Hymn writer said, "Loved with love that knows no measure." An incredible love that God the Father has for each one of us. Love so great, as a matter of fact, that he sent his only begotten Son. He sent heaven's very best. He sent the Lord Jesus here to die for you and for me. And if you will but believe on him and put your faith in him, he will save you from an eternity of hell. And you don't have death to fear anymore. You don't have hell to fear anymore. You don't have things of the earth to fear anymore. You have nothing to fear. Lord Jesus told John in John's gospel, "I and the Father are one." He's got us, and he's got us safe and secure if you put your faith and your trust in him. So he reminds him that he's loved. So he goes on and he says, again, back down to verse 13, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and I came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in a day that is yet to come." Now, this gives us a good little bit of great insight that we have. So Daniel sends up this prayer, right? Now, notice in verse 13, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Go back again with me to verse number 2 of Daniel chapter 10. And in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. Guess how many days are in 3 weeks? It'd be 21, right, Haddon? Spot on. So from the time that Daniel went into this mourning, from the time that Daniel went into this humbling himself before God, seeking things from his God, the word went out. And here comes this one to help him understand, to help him to see what was going on. But he got detained for 21 days by the king of Persia. Not a literal king. We have just a little bit, a tiny glimpse, and this is what I mean, we want to be very careful here. We have a little tiny glimpse of things that are going on behind the scenes. Daniel sends up a prayer. That prayer gets answered, but it gets delayed because he's held up by this demon, I think is what he's really referencing here. This angelic being sent from heaven gets held up by a demon because there is a real, honest-to-goodness, spiritual warfare going on right now. I would suggest to you right now, all over this world today, as God's Word goes out, even us right now reading from His Word, I would suggest to you that there are those demons that are out there trying to disrupt our Facebook feed, trying to make our microphones go bad, but we've got heaven on our side, and we know that God's Word is going to be proclaimed, and they're winning the victory, and these things are allowed to happen. And Daniel says, oh, look at that. Here comes this guy. He was delayed for 3 weeks, 21 days. A little bit of insight, this great battle that's going on behind the scenes. The Apostle Paul wrote about it. You don't need to turn there. I'll read it for you. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Because remember what we just talked about a few minutes ago. God's proven His love to us. He's given His only begotten Son. If you believe in Him as your Savior, you have, like Daniel, nothing to fear. It's not about this world anymore for you. But you're safe, and you're secure, and you're kept by the God of heaven. And the Apostle Paul says, we wrestle against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, what does he mean by the heavenly? Are there forces of evil in heaven? Well, no. Heaven's the abode of God. There's only good there. The Bible speaks of three heavens. There is the heaven that is immediately above us, which is the air that we breathe. There is the heaven that is above that, which are where the stars and the planets all are. And then there is the third heaven that's beyond that, and that's the abode of God. And listen to what we read about Satan. Satan in Ephesians 2 and 2, Satan is the prince and power of the air. So all of these things around us are going on. These great spiritual battles are being fought. And the Lord is winning, and He's winning every time. This is a really small little glimpse. I don't want to read too much into it, but I do want you to understand there is a spiritual battle going on right now around us. Guess who the victor is? It's the Lord, and He always will be. So in the last few little verses that we have here, in verses 15 to 17, listen to what Daniel has to say. Daniel said, "And when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face towards the ground, and I was mute." I almost get this feeling of Daniel's jaw just hitting the floor. You mean to tell me for 3 weeks I've been praying and fasting and thinking that God had not answered my prayer, but you have been held up in a spiritual warfare with your buddy Michael against demons? That's an incredible thing to think about, isn't it? I probably would have had Daniel's same reaction. I'd have probably fell down, my jaw would have hit the floor, and I wouldn't have been able to speak at all. But Daniel says, "Behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth, and I spoke to him who stood before me. O my Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength." We'd probably be the same way too, thinking about what he had just seen. "How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now there is no strength remaining in me, and no breath is left in me." And then we get this response in the last three verses of our little chapter here as we quickly close this out, setting the stage for these visions of chapters 11 and 12. Listen to what he says to Daniel. He says, "O man, for the second time, greatly loved." Reminder again that Daniel is loved. "And for the second time, fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. Moses told the children of Israel the exact same thing in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31 and verse 6, as he was getting ready to go meet the Lord because he knew he would not be crossing over the River Jordan. He told the children of Israel, be strong and of good courage. And that's what this one is telling Daniel. And Daniel answers him and says, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. You ever get strengthened by reading God's Word? You ever get strengthened by being around a fellow believer? Remember, we had talked a little bit before about why am I in the place that I'm at? Why am I doing the things that I'm doing and I don't see any results that I'm looking to get? And then you meet someone. I had a guy. You've probably all seen the back of my pickup truck. My little sign is falling apart. I don't have the heart to take it off the back of my truck. My daddy stuck it on there years ago, and it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, right? Guy stopped me at the gas station. He had a similar one on the back of his truck, and he said, hey, my brother in Christ, how are you this morning? It's an encouragement. Daniel gets encouragement for this one. He says, I'm strengthened because you've reminded me that I'm loved. You've reminded me I have nothing to fear. And you've reminded me that I can be strong and that I can have courage. So can you this morning in the Lord Jesus. So he tells him, he says, I've got to go back in verse number 20. I will return, and notice what he says, to fight against the prince of Persia. He said, I got to go back. I got to finish the fight that was started. He said, but listen, the prince of Greece is coming. It's not over. There are more battles to fight. There are more victories to be won. In that sense, he says, but I'm going to tell you what's inscribed in the book of truth. And that's what we're going to get to in the last part of this, as Daniel sort of has the stage set in Daniel chapter 10. So I am looking forward to what comes next. But we always try to ask ourselves, well, so what? What do we take away from Daniel chapter 10 this morning? What do we walk away from this with? And here's what we walk away from this. Number one, as we've mentioned several times, for God so loved the world and gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him, the lovely Lord Jesus, should not perish, but, the Bible says, has. Not you're going to have, not you're going to gain one day, but when you believe in Him, you have eternal life, never to be separated from God, ever at all. You are loved. Everyone in the sound of my voice, loved. Number two, you are heard. You know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you cry out to Him, just like Daniel did, He will answer you. Could be delayed, could be a battle going on, could be somebody standing in the way, but they're not going to win. They can't win. God's going to send His answer to you. It may not be the answer you want, but you're going to get an answer, right? I've told the story several times. Be real careful what you pray for. I stood outside that Coke machine thirsty one night, wouldn't take my money, wouldn't take my money, wouldn't take my money. And I said a quick prayer. I said, Lord, please make this machine take my dollar. And it did, and I still didn't get a Coke. It took my dollar away from me. Be real careful how you pray. Be real specific in it. I should have said, let it take my dollar and give me a Coke. Maybe I'd have got my drink. But I went home and had a glass of water, I think it was, with my tail between my legs, upset about not getting a Coca-Cola. You're protected. Notice what he said, and we skipped over this because this is, again, this is another one of those things that is very, very much not spoken of a whole lot in Scripture. But at the very end of this, he says, there is none who contends by my side. This is verse 21 of chapter 10. Against these except Michael. Now, the book of Jude tells us Michael is an archangel. So we see there's some hierarchy in the angelic structure. There are those who are over other angels. And he says, your prince. Do we have guardian angels? I don't know. I don't know how the Lord protects us. To be honest with you, I don't really care. He just does, right? You know, He just does. And finally, God only deals in truth. Here's the truth one last time. Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. You're loved, you're heard, you're protected. Most importantly, you know what Daniel got? Daniel got a vision, Daniel got an angel. in your greatest time of need, you got the very Son of God sent for you. How loved are we? Take Him as your own and enjoy all the wonderful benefits of having a home in heaven waiting for you. Father, we do thank You again for the time. We thank You for the opportunity to read from Your Word, to think on these things that You've shown us here in Your Word, to see these incredible details of things that are going on, these mighty battles that are being fought in a spiritual realm. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your protection. We thank You for those beings that You have taking care of us, watching over us. Father, we thank You for answered prayer. We thank You most of all for the gift of Your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray now that You would dismiss us with Your blessing, watch over us and care for us throughout our week, and bring us together again in Your will. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.